I was told that us mothers, we should suck it up. We were fine. Like, I wasn't depressed. I was anxious because I hadn't slept in 3 years, but they said, that makes sense based off your circumstances. You have a really hard child. And they pretty much blamed it on my child. And I'm like, no, it was, I needed support too.
Welcome to the SensoryWise Solutions podcast for parents, where parents can get real, actionable strategies to support kids with sensory processing disorder. I'm Laura, OT and mom to Liliana, a sensory sensitive kid who inherited my anxiety and my love for all things Disney. Consider me your new OT mom bestie. I know my stuff, but I also know what it's really like in the trenches of parenting a child with sensory processing disorder.
Okay, mom, enough about me. Let's start the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited to introduce you today to my friend Kendra Williams. She is a Silicon Valley professional turned motherhood coach, and she specializes in helping women navigate the identity shift that occurs when women enter motherhood. She is a certified conscious parent coach, master practitioner of NLP, and Mama Rising facilitator. And one more quick note for you before you listen to this episode. I did want to bring to your attention that throughout the episode, the language that you'll hear us use is focused around experiences of those who identify as female. However, most of the content is inclusive for all birthing people and parents, regardless of identity. You'll hear us talk a lot about gender-specific terms such as women and moms and motherhood. And I apologize to anyone in advance if this is offensive to you. You know, my goal here is to always make all people feel included, but I hope that this information is still helpful for you no matter where you are on your journey. Hello, Kendra.
Hi, Laura. Nice to meet you officially on your podcast.
I know we've worked together and now you are colleagues, and I just have been enjoying so much of our conversation behind the scenes as business owners, and more importantly, moms in 2022 with all of the fun stuff that comes with that, which we're going to get into today.
Absolutely.
This topic came out because you and I were just talking recently, and I've been watching some of your videos on TikTok and Instagram, and I love your view of conscious parenting and how you translate that, or I guess reframing it for a lot of parents, because I think between conscious parenting, gentle parenting, it all kind of can get very fluffy and can get misunderstood, right? So we're going to talk a lot about that today. But also what I love about you is that how you also share your experience of how you got to that journey to conscious parenting, being a parent to a neurodivergent child, which is how you and I started talking. So we're going to get into all of that today. I would love if you just gave all of us, all the listeners out there, a quick introduction to you as a person, and then also you as a mom and how you've gotten to this journey so far and when you're at where you're at today.
Yeah, I'd love to share. So my name is Kendra. Originally from your state, California. I was born and raised in the Bay Area and fell hard into corporate life, climbing the ladder and being successful. And that ultimately, I think, led to my crash into motherhood, because now I know my child is neurodivergent. But at the time, everything was just hard. Sleep hard, feeding hard, 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 hard. And I'm like, what is going on? This is nothing like I expected. I had decided to stay home with my child for a year and then got pregnant within a year again. So I stayed home and I think lovingly drowned. And in that, I started to say, I don't think I can change my child. I don't think this is like a wait out a sleep regression. This isn't a find a new tip or trick. I'm like, something's really different here. Something's going on. And that thing was, I needed to change my perspective of, one, my child, two, myself as a mom. And it sent me down this deep personal development path that ultimately led me to conscious parenting, which I hadn't heard of at the time, but I was already viewing my son as, I need to adjust as much as you need to adjust. And I found conscious parenting. I Googled it and found Shefali had an institute. Dr. Shefali is the one that literally wrote the book of conscious parenting, brought it to Oprah, I think like 10 years ago, and kind of started the movement. And I'm like, I have to study under her. I have to understand what I just went through. Like, give me the language to help me understand. And I was connecting with other moms of neurodivergent kids at the time, but help me spread this. Like, it doesn't need to be this hard. So I think it was a mix of my old life and being so good and so successful that I was quote unquote unsuccessful. And it was my child saying, no, I am different. I am not going to do what you want me to do. I will not sleep. I will not be quiet. It took him really pushing me to say, I need to do parenting differently. And that's what led me here. And now that's what I help other moms do, is really embrace the journey that they're on and view their child at a soul level as an equal. Like, we're teaching them about the world, but they're also teaching us so much about ourselves that would have never been asked had we not had that neurodivergent child.
I love everything you said, but I already really want to jump back to a phrase that I've never heard that I really think so wonderfully captures what so many moms are feeling. Can you go back to when you said you were feeling like you were like lovingly drowned or lovingly drowning, and explain how you got, like, just uncover that for us? Because that phrase really, I was like, I've never heard that before, but I resonate with that so much. But please tell us more.
Yeah. As a motherhood coach and speaking to women, I think the best analogy I have is it's literally like the birth canal. It is dark. It is cozy. I don't know what the heck's happening in there, but something really massive is happening on the other side. And at first I would say I entered the canal with all of my expectations not being met. I was sleep deprived for 2 years. Doctors were not believing me. Babies cry. And I'm like, no, something's going on. But I was personally being rebirthed. That's the way that I view it now. Back then, if you told me that, asked me what's happening, I'm like, my world is caving in. I'm drowning. But it really was an entry point for me to say, okay, how is this adding to my larger life? What am I supposed to be learning here? Where am I playing the victim? Like, the babies don't want to stay in the belly for more than 9-10 months. They got to go to the next phase. So that's how I look, like lovingly drowning in that kind of birth canal. Like, it's time to move forward and push through.
That is so cool. I've never heard of it described like that, but I agree. And I love how you already describe motherhood as more of like a journey, but where we're going, like, what do you consider the destination of motherhood? If you're like, we need to push through, go to the other side. Like, what does that look like? Is that a mindset shift? Is that like you realizing it's not about my child, it's about me? What is your thought on that?
Yeah, I think it really is a mindset shift. And I think this is where I want to talk about conscious parenting, because I don't like to get into the, well, that's not gentle and that's not respectful. And like, there's kind of like wars going on social media of like, this is it pits us women and us mothers against each other. But I do think there is a big distinction in a philosophy and a parenting style. Like, I can see gentle parenting, positive, respectful, being done in a target aisle. Like, a child is melting down. Are they getting down at the level? Are they yelling? Are they not? Like, I can see it because it's parenting style. I have no idea what's going on in that parent's mind, the philosophy of, why am I so triggered right now? What is this? Do I really care about what other people think? We all know to ask, like, what is the unmet need with my child? But the consciousness, the mindset shift is, my child is showing, not only do they have an unmet need, they're showing me something. If I'm activated, they are a teacher in our lives to say, yeah, I really care a lot about what other people think. I actually do think my child is an extension of me. Deep down, I liken this to like weight loss. I think a lot of people can relate to this. We all know that we should drink our water, eat our vegetables, get good sleep. We know that we should also not yell at our kids, treat them with respect. But how do we actually eat the vegetables? Remind ourselves to drink the water. That is the mindset shift of, I am whole and complete. My body deserves these nutrients. And this soul, my son, my daughter is whole and complete. They are not trying to give me a hard time. Where can I connect to myself and then to my child? Does that answer the question?
Yeah, that's really cool. And I like how you separate it as something you can see on like the outward side, like externally, a parenting style is what you see how someone responds. And even if I'm not seeing it, but what my actions are saying, that is a parenting style. But to be a conscious parent is all the inner work that takes place. And so you can see, you can be utilizing authoritative parenting styles and still not yet be a conscious parent. You haven't unlocked that feature yet if you're not doing that inner work. And I think that's where that can be a lot where the big, where the gap is. I just haven't been able to fully verbalize it. But when you put it like that, I work with a lot of parents of neurodivergent kids who are saying, I'm doing all the gentle parenting, gold standard parenting style approaches, getting down the level, validating feelings, setting a boundary and letting them do blah, blah, blah. But it's still not working. And then when we like, let's dig deeper, what's not working? What is your definition of working? And when you shift your mindset about what you expect of your child and why you expect those things of your child, and you can weed through those things, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it is working. I just was looking at the wrong measurement of outcome, or it's going to work soon once I reflect on all of these things. But that's like such a way bigger ask than just the scripts and the timers and the visual supports, which are helpful, but like, it's a long journey of becoming a conscious parent. Would you say that you feel like you have arrived in your conscious parent like expertise, or are you like, would you say you're halfway there? Would you say like it's, you still got a long way to go? Like, how do you measure your success as a conscious parent, you personally, and how we can ask followers to think about where they're currently at?
I will say you never arrive. That is consciousness. Any way that you're going to look at conscious living, there's always more of you to become aware of. And it is all about you, the parent. You've heard a lot of inner child work when it comes to conscious parenting, but that's just unconscious parts of you. There's parts of you that you've left behind to keep safe, and we just bring them online. And then you think you're healed, and then there's a little bit of a deeper layer to that wound, or that inner child had a little bit more to say when the meltdowns cross 90 minutes with your kid. You know what? I do love my kid. I think they're their own person, but gosh darn it, at 90 minutes, you need to shut the F up. And you're like, oh, no, that was my inner child tantruming. I need to look at, I mean, we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to arrive. And I think that's the beauty of conscious parenting, is it's never a pass fail. It's always just try and get back into the present as much as possible. And there's all these tools that we can use to get you back present. I will say I've done the bulk, I think, of my healing. It would be hard for me to find a wound I haven't at least started healing, but a lot of like deep child, I have some big T trauma that I've really worked through. And I will say I did a lot of talk therapy for years and years and years before I became a mom. I thought I was ready, and it wasn't, one, trauma informed, and it didn't keep me regulated in my body. And what happens with our children, especially neurodivergent children, they push us so far, not on purpose. They're not testing us, but those, just the meltdowns or just the frustration of the socks. I know you and Liliana and the socks, like it sounds crazy to some parents, the typical kids, like really it's the socks that sent you into oblivion. I'm like, heck yeah. Heck yeah. Existential crisis, because it's been 9 months of putting on a sock. And that's the gift I see as a parent of a neurodivergent child, is they're asking us to look at ourselves more than a neurotypical child. I think that's what it is. And the journey of consciousness, I think, is the same as the journey of motherhood. There is no arrival. And this is something I work on with my clients, is I always say mom or mother, it's a noun and a verb. Our society is so caught up on the verb, like the doing, the nurturing, the cleaning, the training, the educating, the loving, all of those things. And by design, that will never, never, never be done. The dishes repeat, the meltdowns transition, you go to school. It's impossible to feel like you get the A+, I'm amazing, if you focus only on the doing. I remind my clients, the mother is also a noun. It's literally who you are. It is now part of your identity. And not to say that it's all of your identity, But just know, I always talk about the hats. We've got our mom hat, our wife hat, our career hat. We are the woman wearing that hat, and we can feel like an amazing parent and connected because we are inherently worthy by just being the mother. And then we look at the doing. Then we look at what resources do I need? Do I need to outsource the cleaning? Do I need OT help? Like literally you look at the doing separate from who you are. And I think that as neurodivergent kids, we need that, or parents to neurodivergent kids, because for us, it really, really feels sometimes that we're never going to hit that smooth patch. I will never have bedtime go well for more than 3 days at a time. I will never win. So it's like, we've got to anchor back in to ourselves. And that is conscious parenting, the theory, the values of bringing yourself home, even when the world seems to be so chaotic around you. I'll stop with my like dialogue.
No, this is you are the expert here. This is your platform. I'm giving you the mic. So I love that.
Thank you.
I love when you talk, when my guests talk more. I want to bring up something that gets asked a lot, because when we talk about conscious parenting and like breaking the cycle, like you've talked about big T trauma, there are some people who feel like there is no trauma to recover from or heal from. Like, I had a pretty good childhood. Like, what is there to break the cycle for? I have sort of an experience, but there might be people who still don't even have this. And my experience is I don't have a specific trauma. I am still breaking the cycle of my parents who just really always tried their best to never let me cry. Like with every distraction, every bribe, every white lie of why certain things couldn't be, like they just wanted to avoid the crying. And so now as an adult, I don't know how to have feelings. And so I'm in therapy. So even though my parents are amazing parents, they loved me. They gave me everything I wanted, literally gave me everything I wanted so I wouldn't cry. I'm still breaking that cycle. But there are other people who feel like there's no cycle to break, or maybe there's like a, they're like, I'm not really seeing the inner healing. Like, are there some people who can just not have any inner healing to do? And it's just like thinking why they're triggered about it? Or does it always go back to our childhood and how we were parented as a child?
That's such a loaded question, and I'm happy to answer. I will say that being by design, if you are human, you have some form of quote unquote trauma. Because trauma by design doesn't mean that you needed to have this huge event. It's not the event itself. It's in your body, trauma stored in your body. If there's anything that went unprocessed in such a way that changed how you show up in the world. So there's big T, there's little T. If you are human, you've got some form of it. I also want to share, it's not worth comparing big T to little T. Well, mine was like this, or I was older. There's a lot of people who want to compare. The point is we are human and we have egos that want us to look good to the world, that want us to usually keep the peace, that believe that our values should be shared. And there's a million different opinions and values to have. So by design, there's something to heal. You can, whether you choose to quote unquote heal that, I don't think that's important. If you are parenting and you're saying, I just want to do it differently, that's enough reason. The other thing I will say is, if you don't want to go back to the past, there is trauma in motherhood that needs to be acknowledged. Birth trauma is so real. There are so many women that have birth trauma that are assume that it's normal because there's so many emergency C-sections and they didn't connect with their baby physically for days. Then how did they emotionally, that needs to be looked at. I talk a lot about matrescence on my platform, which is the identity shift. It's the developmental transition that women go through when they become mothers. And just as a quick overview, matrescence sounds like adolescence because very similar things are happening. It kicks off, I liken pregnancy to puberty, huge physical hormone shift or surge. And then the world focuses on your baby, but you are like, wait a minute. My friendships aren't exactly the same. Maybe you don't want to hang out with people, or you do want to hang out with people who have kids now. Society views women differently from women who are mothers. How do you navigate that? And I think I work, I'm going to use this word intentionally. I think for a lot of us women, we are being gaslit that we are changing and society goes bounce back in 3 months, literally physically back to work, do all the things. You're just as motivated. You have
Six
the same
weeks
values
for some people.
I know. And it's, yeah. So I bring it up because it doesn't need to be some crazy childhood trauma that is making it hard for you to connect to your toddler who's tantruming. It's also, I don't recognize my body. My husband and I aren't connected as we used to, which is normal. And I don't know if I want to go back. There's so many things happening in the moment that I think that we take for granted, like, oh, it's just hard. And it's like, no, if you actually understood and were seen and validated for what this transition is into motherhood, that alone could keep our yelling or maybe our stonewalling. A lot of people don't yell and they just, you know, shut down so they're not inflicting any vocal, physical pain, but then we're abandoning the people that we love by doing that out of self-preservation. And that's a big thing. I think I like to start there because we should know where we are in the moment before we go back to the past, if you even want to go back, right?
Yeah, that's a really good point in terms of experiencing like the process of pregnancy and birth as trauma to your body. And I also imagine mothers who are trying to conceive and deal with the in vitro or fostering. There's trauma involved in that process as well. Yeah. And then everything that comes with raising children can still be added on to that, right?
Right. I mean, if you could, I just want to advocate across the board that us women, even if we're not drowning, like we need so much more support and visibility in our motherhood journeys in general. It doesn't mean like I waited until my son was having 90-minute meltdowns at 3 and putting holes in the wall. Honestly, before that, it was pediatrician help. Demanding blood tests. Like I was going very medical and it wasn't until he was 3 that I said, okay, it's me. What can I do? And I had so much stuff backed up by then. I was like, oh my God, I wasn't trying to keep it together in a way like I can do it on my own, but the world just told me I'm a mom. I know what to do. I'm fine. There must be something wrong with your kid. And I'm like, oh God, I wish you would have screened me more. I wish you would have helped me more because I talk about this on some of my TikToks. We almost medicated my son at 4 because yes, he had at the time, it was an autism diagnosis and a very young ADHD diagnosis. And we were at risk of getting kicked out of school again. And I'm like, we can't live. Like we can't take him to the park. We can't do anything with him anymore. I guess we'll medicate him. And I changed. I started accepting this. This wasn't a 4-year phase. How do I surrender, really, really surrender to this circumstance in my life? How do I make the most of this? And it wasn't fun. It wasn't easy, but I mean, I didn't need to medicate him and I'm not knocking anyone who does, but we didn't need to medicate him. And we almost did because I was told that us mothers, we should suck it up. We were fine. Like I wasn't depressed. I was anxious because I hadn't slept in 3 years, but they said that makes sense based off your circumstances. You have a really hard child and they pretty much blamed it on my child. And I'm like, no, it was, yeah. I needed support too. So I just, as women, we need some more support. And then when we add on neurospicy parenting, we need even more. I really believe that we do.
Can we talk about the discrepancy or I guess the unexpectedness of what we envisioned motherhood to be like, whether from the media or just from our own family or from the moment we find out that we are pregnant or we are expecting a baby and then we have this child who is completely separate from us and has their own plan in the world and becomes the best gift to us and also something that is one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do, raise a neurodivergent child. So that discrepancy of like, I expected motherhood to be like this, motherhood in general, which I am like false advertisement from all of my childhood memories, movies, sitcoms, media, how I heard my mom talk about motherhood, how I saw all of that false advertisement, motherhood in general, but then add to that my personal experience, did not expect my child to be neurodivergent. What was that process like for you and coming to terms with that?
Yeah, the fall from grace. This is actually one of the cornerstones of matrescence, actually, is all of us women. Well, we start matrescence the moment we either plan, like start family planning, or the moment we find out we're pregnant, because we start two things. We start daydreaming about the mother that we're going to be, and we start daydreaming about the child we're going to have. And it's interesting because on birthday, there's now four. There's the dream mom, the dream baby, and the real mom and the real baby. And I talk about this a lot with neurodivergent parenting. There is a grief process. I went through a grief process knowing that my child, I don't usually lead with a label, but he is different. And my life parenting him is not going to be the way that I experienced it to be, but also me as a mother. I thought I was going to be way more calm, way more patient, way more loving, way more all of the things. I'm like, wow. At first I thought, I'll be honest, I was like, I'm not a good mom. And like, people ask you, is he a good baby? And I'm like, no, he is not. He never sleeps. Blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, let's eliminate good, bad babies. They're just babies. But every woman at some level goes through this kind of rubbing your belly dream to the reality. And that is a cornerstone of matrescence, is let's acknowledge what dreams and expectations you did have, and where are they now? Let's reconcile that and get present so we can move forward. That was also my entry point to conscious parenting, was being like, I can't manipulate this child. I can't win with any timer, trick, OT, anything. Nothing is making him quote unquote normal. I'll be honest, that's what I said. Nothing's making him normal. And I was like, oh man. It was, at first, it felt like a death sentence, not a death sentence. That's like a life sentence. Like, we are going to struggle for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. And sitting with that, then coming out through that birth canal, I was being a little bit dramatic. I was really in my ego. I was making that a lot about me. And now I really view him as my teacher. I had to go through this fall from grace. And then I feel like we came back up together. I teach him about the world and the rules and love and structure. And he teaches me where I need to evolve internally. And that's really how this all came about. And I think a lot of neurodivergent parents go to that fall from grace. And then when you rise on the other side, you're like, oh yeah, I needed that. That was really humbling, because I really thought I had everything figured out before. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It really is a transformation. And you're like, it really is like, oh, I wish, I mean, I just shared this on Instagram the other day, like old text messages where I was like, a journal of the actual thoughts that I remember thinking that, but seeing it written out during like one of the darkest times of my parenthood journey was like, wow. I remember thinking back then, maybe I wasn't even a parent yet. Maybe I was like still just child, like didn't have a child. And I used to like think these kinds of parenting styles were like very woo-woo and fluffy. And I'm like, I'm never going to do that. Like, I'm going to have boundaries, of course, and like never let my kid do this and that. But like the talk back then of gentle parenting was like, in my head, was more permissive parenting, and just all these misconceptions that I had and that I saw in the media, like shows would make fun of it. And so that's what I was like consuming. I have a question for you that I did not put on our like notes. I don't know if you have.
Oh man.
I don't think you have it pulled up, but it just came into my head, and I would love to hear your answer. So take a second if you need to think about it. If you had, like, if you could like fast forward to like when you're an old lady and you are looking back, or you're like having conversations with your son and your daughter, or you're just like around your family, what would it feel like if you were like, I did it. I raised them exactly how I wanted to. This is what I worked for. Like, kind of this final like observation of like, yes, I did it right. Like,
this is going to be cheesy, but it's so clear to me. The way that I know I've quote unquote done my job is that my child, but I have two children actually, that both of my children are so distinctly them, that they have, I don't know if it's their own style, their own way of talking, their own strange career. I just to know that if I could see huge differences in them compared to me, I would think I know I've done my job, because old school parenting is these children are mine. They're a direct reflection of me, an extension, go to the college I went to, play the sports I want to play. And if my son ends up, I don't know, I don't need the proof in their lives looking different than mine, but that's just what comes up for me, is if they are wildly different, but fully self-expressed, I've done my job.
That's a really good answer. I like that.
Thank you. The other thing that I think we talked about maybe last week was, for people that were raised with authoritative parents, or gentle, positive, respectful, whatever buzz trendy word, if you were raised authoritative, it's super easy to be authoritative. If you were raised with the other three, which is authoritarian, which is do as I say, my house, my rules, like dictator style, or permissive, like I'm your friend, I'm like really nice, there's like no boundaries or rules around here. If you were raised, there's a third one, it's neglectful. That's usually if you just, it's not like intentionally neglectfully usual. Usually it's more a single mom with multiple kids who just couldn't be there because they're just busy. What I will say is conscious parenting is the bridge between your default or your childhood parenting style and authoritative. So for people who are raised with authoritative, it's easy because that was your model of the world. It literally was imprinted into you from a young age. If you have authoritarian imprinted or permissive, conscious parenting is the bridge you're going to have to walk to truly, truly make the change to authoritative. Does that make sense?
Well, that is such a good way to explain it, because that really helps you visualize that it's your personal journey of becoming a conscious parent. To a parenting style, which is more of the objective measurement of what you say, what you do, how you respond. But that bridge is always there. What would you say to people who, like, they're listening to this and they want to start the work? They're like, okay, this sounds good. I need to start. Like, what would be step one, maybe the first three steps, if you want to like lay out like where they should start?
Yeah. I think we kind of touched on it on this conversation. These are really interesting entry points. One, sit down and journal on the question, why did I have kids?
That's a hard question for me to answer.
I know. This is where the work is.
because that's where I got stuck, where I was like, should I have another kid? Why do I want another kid? And most of our answers were companionship for my daughter when we're not here. Or to feel not alone when my husband and I get old and she has all the burden of dealing with elderly parents, because in our culture, like, you always take care of your elderly parents. Like, you don't put them, like, they live with you, you take care, like, everything. But that reason why was like, is that why I'm having another kid? Like, so the why is really hard to answer.
We'll go back to why you had Liliana. I'm not going to coach you.
I know, but like, but then my answer is like, I want it. Like, that was the next thing I just had this internal want to create another human with the person that I love and see, like, I love him so much. I want our things to be put together and make this human. Like, I'm thinking that, but then, you know, what if like you didn't plan for a child? How do you answer those questions? Like, what if you don't have an answer for
that? Yeah. I mean, there is always an answer for why you had a child. If it was a oopsie baby, then we're going to ask, what expectations did you have of your child? Obviously that they're going to sleep, that they're going to do this.
Before they were born.
Right. Yes. Okay. Like, why did you step really far back? Why did I decide to have children? Because I wanted to recreate the family I never had, because it was the next thing I wanted to do, because I love my partner, I wanted to create something in the world. Like, what, there's a million reasons why. Yeah. There's always some reason if it's planned. If it's not, then we go to this next question, which is, what were my expectations of my child? Well, unconsciously, I totally had one that they would be neurotypical. We need to look at, so when we start answering, what were my expectations of my child? And then of my parent-child relationship, we're going to look, a lot of things just come to your consciousness. There's a lot there. We all have our reasons. They may not be conscious until we ask these questions. And that is this conscious parenting work. It's not, I'm not a trauma therapist, but I will tell you the triggers that come up in your parenting on a day-to-day basis are barely anything that's happening in the moment. We touched on matrescence. It could be overwhelm. It could be a transition today, but a lot of deeper triggers are from our past, and they're not actually in the past if they're coming up now. But a lot of the work is asking these questions, allowing yourself to go there and get the answers. I did expect a neurotypical child, and I had anger around that. I'm like, well, this isn't fair.
Yeah.
Why didn't so-and-so who wanted kids forever get this child? I didn't really even really want kids for a long time. I finally just decided, and it happened fast. And this one, really? Like, yeah. I had to go through my process and literally process what came up when I answered these questions. I think those two questions alone are a lot, actually.
Yeah, that's a lot. So you once you get, and I'm sure it's not like a worksheet, like you answer no. And then like, okay, there's my answer. It's really sitting with it. And then mm-hmm. each question will lead you more. Well, why? Well, why?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, and then like just like the just sitting with it and processing that, and being comfortable in that,
mm-hmm.
and then moving on from there.
Yeah, Dr. Shefali, who I studied under, she says all the time, sit with it, sit with it, sit with it. For people that. So many of us don't feel our feelings. I always say we don't need to help our children feel their feelings. They're so good at it. It's us.
We have to allow them to do that. Yeah. And not cut it off or.
Right. Yeah. So it's, we ask ourselves these questions and we do sit with it. And I will also say it doesn't need to be with a paid coach like myself. If you could find a women's circle, it is so key to be seen, like literally witnessed in like a safe, mm-hmm. truly a safe nervous system, safe space mm-hmm. to go. Yeah. Like I had so much anger and rage, not only at the diagnosis, at the reality, at knowing that I have a twin that had very similar things, but just didn't have a lot of support. I was suddenly angry, renewed angry at my parents for not supporting him. I had rage popping out of me all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing to say, I'm angry. I acknowledge I'm angry. It's another thing to feel it, admit it to someone else and still feel safe and feel okay that I was experiencing that. So I know conscious parenting is like, it's like this vague idea of raising your consciousness. Like what the hell does that mean? Yeah. It really just means bringing more parts of you online, making it safe to bring more of you online. And there's nothing you're going to discover that isn't ready to be discovered. It's not going to come back. Like I always say, it like pops out of our unconscious. It comes, if it popped out, it's ready. It's ready to be healed. It's ready to be sat with. Sit with it. Yeah.
So you said you don't have to do this with a paid coach, but I am someone who like, I learn something new, whether from a book or a podcast. And I'm like, I want mm-hmm. to learn more. I'm not a DIY person. I like mm-hmm. being guided and handheld and like, am I doing mm-hmm. this right? And there might be people who, like me, even in therapy, I have a hard time answering questions. And it's not until she digs. And I'm like, is it that? Like, I'm asking her for the right answer. I was like, is this what you're looking for? Yeah. And she's like, well, I don't know what. And I like get so frustrated. But if you don't have someone asking that question or like guiding you to where to go, or like you said, hearing other women talk and being like, wait, I resonate with that. Like, I've never mm-hmm. thought that. But mm-hmm. now that you say it, yes. But so if people want to work with you as a coach or learn from you and other resources that can help guide them through this process, because this is a way bigger process than I think a lot of people think at first, like it's just read a step-by-step guide on how to be a conscious parent. It's great to be educated that way. But like if they want to do the deeper work and be guided by someone like yourself, how could they learn from you and what kind of supports can you offer parents?
Absolutely. Yeah. Right now I work with women. I only work with women. Discriminatory, because I talk about matrescence and it is so much of masculine and feminine energies within us. And, I do 6 sessions at a time. You can find me on right now, Instagram or TikTok at @itsKendraWilliams. And I'm starting up a group program next year because I do believe that sisterhood and being witnessed by others is so powerful. I have so many different storylines in my own life that people do like that connection with me, but I'm just one person. So I think the more we can get women reconnected to themselves, the easier it's going to be parent in this society of perfectionism and information overload. But right now it's 6-week sessions, and I do have people extend beyond that if they want more support. But this really is giving you the tools in your toolbox, helping you through them for this time frame, so you can, like a butterfly, ironically, your whole brand is butterflies.
I love that transformation.
Yeah.
Metamorphosis, really, right?
Yes. The birth canal. The birth canal. Also known as the caterpillar soup, I call it. But gosh, 6 weeks at a time. And then you can re-up for packages of 4 if you'd like, depending on how big of a crisis you're feeling in your life. And sometimes I'm working on parenting triggers. Sometimes it's, I've got this gentle thing down and my partner is super authoritarian. Like, how do I navigate that? The whole thing with conscious parenting is the children are the ones that trigger you the most. That just means they point you in the direction that needs the healing the most. It's not actually about your parenting and the scripts and the tips, right? So it's anything that's coming up in motherhood that I'm really talking about. It could be reintegrating back into work. It could be your partner and neurodivergent kids as well, are really the 3 I work with.
So I'll put all of those links to your packages, to your website in the show notes, and your social media. But I also want to add any last resources that you have. So 2 resources. So any top books. Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned one earlier, if you could re-share what that is. Some books to start out. And then because you and I are both active on social media, and there's so many gentle parenting accounts and conscious parenting accounts out there. Mm-hmm. Do you have some favorites that are more in line with the philosophy that you take and how you talk about it now?
Yeah.
Is there anyone else out there like you?
Never. Just kidding.
Is there another Kendra Williams who we could all learn from too? So just other accounts to share.
Yeah. So I call this the Bible of Conscious Parenting. If you haven't read it, it's literally called The Conscious Parent by Dr. Shefali. And then the other thing I think every mother should read, there's a book called Mama Rising by Amy Taylor Cabaz. She's one of 2 women she's an activist for matrescence, and I'm studying under her right now. It's understanding the identity shift that us women are going through, this transformation. And I think that gives you so much more grace and compassion to navigate everything that's going on in the doing of parenting, because you have a better understanding of your being. So Conscious Parent by Dr. Shefali, Mama Rising by Amy Taylor Cabaz. I'll send you the links. And then let's see, as far as, it's interesting, if I think of the people I like who do conscious parenting, it's such a misunderstood term. No one actually calls themselves a conscious parenting coach. Like, that's not my bio on my Instagram, because nobody knows what that means. One of them, I will say Healing Parents.
Okay.
Who else is an actual coach that I love? Oh my gosh. It's the Conscious Mom, Erin Morrison. She trained at the Dr. Shefali's Institute.
The Conscious Mom. I think I've seen her too.
Let's see, for neurodivergent. I think those are the 2 I would say for
those
now.
Are the 2 top ones. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So we've got 2 books and 2 accounts plus your resources to add. So anyone that wants to keep learning, check the show notes and all of the links will be there for you. But thank you so much for having this conversation. I learned a lot more than I thought I was going to learn.
You're so welcome.
I had some golden nuggets to sit with for a while. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you, Laura.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider rating it and leaving a review, which helps other parents find me as well. Want to learn more from me? I share tons more over on Instagram @TheOTButterfly. See you next time.